You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutan, and with me this morning on the Breakfast Grill is Mr. KM Lee, Managing Director of Top Glove, which is the largest rubber glove manufacturer in the world, and Dr. Mark Lovett of Trident Integrity Solutions, a consultancy firm working the area of strengthening integrity infrastructures in organizations. Top Glove, along with Digi.com, Berhad, Thumbprints, United Sundaram Berhad, and Trident, is one of the four founding companies in the Business Integrity Alliance, for which you, Mark, are the Secretary General.
That's correct.
All right. So thank you very much for joining me this morning. I wanted to begin with you, KM, because in some ways, the real world of business as we imagine it is full of compromises when it comes to integrity, when it comes to corrupt practices. I think most individuals in business will think, well, it's all about getting the advantage, right? And it's really not about moral sensibility. It's about a business imperative. In your experience of business, whether it's your own Top Glove or others, do you think that people really understand, business people really take the message of integrity seriously?
Yes, Sharad. I think basically most businesses would be aware of the importance of integrity, and they would have practiced integrity at one time or another. But it's something that we need to talk about it, we need to do something about it, we need to be aware of it consciously every day so that we do the right thing, you know, all the time.
Well, what about in times of great competition, rivals, and if, you know, organizing a little dinner for the person who's going to be procuring, you know, your services or products, when there is a need to kind of like cozy up to certain individuals or even the organization, won't you think, what is wrong with, in fact, you know, spending a little money to lubricate that process?
I think that's where the tone from the top must come in, whereby you set up a good system, and that those systems will dictate or stipulate what kind of occasions are suitable and what kind of occasions are not suitable, and how to go about dealing with some of these situations so that we do it correctly. And yet at the end, we earn the respect from all the stakeholders in the industry.
I mean, the reality of business is cutthroat, is dog-eat-dog. I mean, these are expressions we use to describe the business world. We don't think of businessmen and women as being essentially angelic, you know, floating on a little cloud, you know, dispensing goodies and being moral. We think of them as hard-nosed individuals who make hard choices. There are trade-offs in everything. And if you have to bend the rules, don't you do it for the bottom line? Isn't the bottom line the most pressing thing for businesses?
I think that's generally true, but we have to understand what feeds into that bottom line. And Top Glove is perhaps the best example of this in Malaysia, that integrity in business can be an asset. And I think the business community looks upon that statement with a degree of scepticism. They see what their competitors are doing. And as Mr. Lee has mentioned, most companies would probably choose to do the right thing given the choice, but they're worried about what their competitors are doing. But then it goes back to the tone from the top and what your company actually does. If your company genuinely delivers the best value in the marketplace, if you are working with people with integrity on both sides of the fence, then what results is the best companies get the deal. And when they get the deal, they deliver the real value to the organization. I think what we see is the danger point is that connection between the procurer and the vendor. And how do you manage that interface? And I don't think any of us would object to a normal business lunch in a decent restaurant. But when it's getting into very extravagant forms of hospitality, like extravagant seafood dinners or hospitality in foreign countries or fact-finding missions and so on, it's stepping over a line, which means that the personal integrity of the procurement manager has been compromised. So he then starts to put his own interests above the interests of the company. And that's when companies begin to deteriorate. Because that's when what's being brought into the company isn't delivering the value it's supposed to do. So it's actually in the interest of the procuring company to make sure that that relationship between the procurer and the vendor is managed very tightly. And if that relationship isn't managed tightly, if it's loose and anything goes, then it's actually the company that pays the price in the long term, and no company can afford to do that.
Kim, is the position that Toplab has as the biggest or the largest manufacturer of rubber gloves means that it can now be much less focused on just the bottom line? It can introduce all kinds of other values and KPIs, like, you know, you have to do your business with integrity. Now that you're the, as it were, the top dog, in the past, you know, when you were a smaller, struggling company with, you know, when competition was fierce, maybe that might not have been such an important thing, that the bottom line was the most important thing.
My belief is that whether you are a small SME or big corporation, this is an area, as far as integrity is concerned, you have to get it right, because it basically forms the moral fabric of the whole organization. If you don't get it right, you cannot build the company on a solid foundation, and things will collapse. And we always feel that any temporary advantages that one might obtain via not so legal ways or dubious means are always short-term. And in business, we have to talk about long-term. And to us, long-term means doing the right things every day and be mindful of our reputation and not to do anything that will damage your reputation overnight. It took us 25 years to build up to where we are today, and we treasure that very much, and we feel that it's something that we should continue to do it. And we started this more than 10 years ago. I remember at that time we were very impressed with the Polis Diraja Malaysia. They have a very big and nice round badge that they pin onto their uniform, and on that badge it mentioned anti-rasuah or anti-corruption. So we were delighted with that. We were saying that, this is exactly what we wanted. Let's follow the Polis Diraja Malaysia. They are doing a good deed, you know, and this is a good action on the part of all Malaysians who follow.
But, you know, we all who have encountered traffic police officers or even just police officers will know that the badge has no magical quality, because clearly corruption is still a problem with the police. I mean, you know, so then what is it that the badge does? I believe in your own organization, people do wear badges.
Oh, yes. We wear it almost every day.
So what does the badge do? I mean, it's not magical in quality.
The badge at least will have the effect, number one, to remind us that today we have to do good. Today we have to show a good example. And today we have to, you know, encourage our colleagues to do the right thing. And secondly, also as a notice to third parties, whether suppliers, whether customers, whether other stakeholders, to say that we treasure this value very much. So please help us to upkeep or maintain this particular culture.
Right, we have in BFM a car sticker that says bribe-free Malaysian. I don't know if it really does any good, but I know, Mark, that you've picked up one of our stickers. Mark, what do you think about these? Because people also perhaps have become very cynical and jaded about the talk around anti-corruption and integrity. They see it as so much rhetoric that, in fact, corrupt individuals and leaders talk about integrity all the time.
Talk is cheap. I think we all know that. I think what I'm interested in with the top glove example, with the badge, is that you can't see integrity. It's not like a desk or a chair or a car. It's an abstract value or concept, but it's extremely powerful. So how do you make integrity visible? And another thing that Top Glove does is they have a huge banner at their entrance gate about stating their position on integrity. So what they're doing from the very first moment is making their position clear to anybody that they're dealing with. This is how we do business. And if you don't like it, then that's your problem. So the symbol and the communication is critical. So when some of our clients do integrity programs, one of the key elements of the program is when they've prepared all their policies and procedures, they've been approved by the board, what do you do now? And communication is critical. So, for example, PKNS, they actually had stickers on their glass doors in their offices which said integrity zone. So every time the staff came in, they would push on the door, and in front of them would be the reminder that they are now entering an integrity zone. Now, it has to be backed up by behavior, right? And tone from the top, again, is essential. So if the top leadership do it and the middle management do it, then the lower people in the organization, they will take note of that, and they will think twice about breaking the rules. But if the top management don't do it and the middle management don't do it, then the lower management won't do it either. So the top sets the tone.
Kim, I understand that there are compelling reasons for an organization to want to keep everybody's nose clean within their own organization. Of course, you don't want people cheating you. You don't want your own employees cheating you. But why is it even necessary for an enterprise like your own to enter into an alliance with other businesses, perhaps in the same industry, in order to achieve these ends? I mean, what is it that compelled Top Glove to become one of the founding partners for the Business Integrity Alliance?
Well, I agree with Mark. Like what Mark has just said, talk is cheap. So we also find that other than talking about it every day, talking about it very regularly, we need to do it. And after the doing, we need to share with the other companies in the market what are the good practices that we have. And I believe this is the way to go for a better Malaysia, a better business community, a better society, you know, because we always feel that if you talk about wanting to become a high-income nation, and if you look at the statistics, you look at, the current situation in the world, all high-income societies or economies have corruption under control to a certain extent, or very much. It's not zero corruption, but it is substantially much less.
Well, beyond the shores of Malaysia, you obviously in a global company, you're going to not just first world countries, you're going to third world countries, you're dealing with all kinds of administrations, all kinds of political culture. When you encounter those where corruption is the norm, when it is not simply a question of, and they might even claim it's cultural, that, greasing palms is cultural, having an extravagant dinner is cultural. What do you do then?
Well, very interesting observation. Over the years, we are thankful that we meet more of those better countries where the culture has changed tremendously over time and where integrity is placed on a very high level. I do agree that we will face situations where some of the other customers from developing countries or third world countries do have these problems occasionally. But we have been coping well. We have been sharing our culture with them. And we have been telling them no and no and no again, you know. So after a while, they get the message and they comply. You know, they comply because they appreciate the fact that these are the necessary things, you know, to do in business. And in business, we always talk about long term. No big companies can survive on short term.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning, with me is Mr. K.M. Lee, Managing Director of Top Glove, and Dr. Mark Lovett of Trident Integrity Solutions. Next up, we talk about the Business Integrity Alliance in greater detail, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, if you just joined us today on The Breakfast Grill, we have Mr. K.M. Lee, Managing Director of Top Glove, and Dr. Mark Lovett of Trident Integrity Solutions, both with the Business Integrity Alliance. Where does the Business Integrity Alliance idea come from, Mark?
It's actually started a couple of years ago when I was attending a conference in Phnom Penh. And I was still with Transparency International at that time. And I realized that the very high-sounding strategic goals that the UN was driving were right, but they lacked ground force, if you like. So they were up in the sky, and they needed on-the-ground traction. And the work that we were doing at that time, which we then transferred later into Trident, which was very much working with companies to help them establish anti-corruption procedures and integrity programs, was the missing part of their jigsaw. So I mooted the idea with my UN contacts that we should work together. And we ended up combining our efforts in the area of the UN Global Compact. And what we realized was that no company can do this alone, that the problem's too big. And if one company tries to do it without the support of others around them, then it really just ends up with like water pouring into the sand. And in fact, often it's worse that one company can get severely victimized if they try and deal with the issue. So we worked out the idea of a collective action group. And then we did the transfer into Trident and then continued with the program. And we set up the Business Integrity Alliance earlier this year. It's managed by a Berhad, so a company limited by guarantee. So it's not for profit. And we wanted to make it self-sustaining and driven by business value. So our question was, how can you utilize integrity for business value, going back to the bottom line issue? And there are plenty of programs out there, but often they die out because they don't really connect to how business works. So we pooled our ideas and came up with the idea that actually the alliance needed to mitigate certain corruption risks and costs that many companies experience operating in Malaysia, in fact, Southeast Asia and other countries. So we're about mitigating three areas. One is the cost of corruption. So corruption can be hugely expensive for companies. There are reports that indicate that 25% of procurement costs are down to corruption. So how do you drive out those costs? Second, there's the whole area of prosecutions with the British UK Bribery Act, which has just come into force in the UK. That's changing the world landscape. And third is the whole area of reputational risk. So if a company is now caught up in a corruption scandal, the whole world knows about it. That stain never goes away. With the internet today, anything that happens in Indonesia or Philippines or China, it's going to go on the world stage, and then any company that's been caught up with that is going to suffer the consequences.
So, Mark, your business, as it were, your company, which is one of the partners, is in fact in the business of selling integrity, if you can put it that way. Mm. And I imagine it's a much smaller business than, say, selling rubber gloves.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not a businessman as such. I mean, you're selling processes, right? Around the idea of integrity. Kim, what is it? I mean, you're a businessman, and I know you have that business philosophy. Your company has that philosophy about the long term, you said, as opposed to the short term. But I'm still trying to get my head around, you know, why this would be compelling to other businesses. And, you know, what are the things that, okay, for instance, if you could tell us, without implicating yourself, what are the kind of corrupt practices or practices that don't have integrity that actually are practiced in Malaysia with regularity and that is pretty widespread that you think are going to be really difficult to change?
I think all changes will start with small steps. And I do agree with Mark that for organizations like us, and I certainly hope that the Malaysian business community will also think likewise, that corruption has, like what Mark has just said, has three serious consequences. One is that it will add up your costs. It will increase your costs substantially.
But can't you just price it in and pass it on to the consumer?
No way. As far as you are talking about competition in the world market or even competition on a local basis, once you have higher costs, very difficult to compete. Secondly, the prosecution risk. If you have a case where you're prosecuted, you know, by any regulatory bodies or any worldwide bodies, it's not good for the company. And thirdly, the reputation. Reputation, we talk about when you build a reputation over the past 25 years, you certainly don't want to risk it.
Okay, what are the low-hanging fruit? What immediately can organizations, whether they join the alliance or they don't join the alliance, what could they do? Mark?
There's two forms of corruption, what we call inbound and outbound. Inbound is where people are trying to influence your organization to their advantage. So that's usually in the area of procurement. So make sure that your procurement processes are well designed, that you have committees wherever possible involved with anything over a value of, say, 50,000 ringgit. Have clear guidelines on gifts and entertainment, especially for people in what we call high-risk positions like procurement, also in areas of sales and other high-risk positions. Make sure that your conflict of interest procedures are well set up. Make sure that you have a reporting line that's well communicated so that if there are things going on in the company, that you can find out about them and deal with them sensitively and correctly before they blow up. I think those are the three low-hanging fruits that we would recommend.
Okay, now looking broadly at Malaysia, the Business Integrity Alliance is obviously, you know, targeting private enterprises. But what about the whole question in the economy? We have government-linked companies, we have government-linked investment companies that seem to fall between the benches, you know. Do you think that's a huge thing? Because they're part of ecosystems in which private enterprise is also plugged in, right? And they're not, are they going to be part of this Business Integrity Alliance?
Yeah, actually, we're receiving the strongest interest from the GLCs. So that's very encouraging. We see the GLCs really as the economic powerhouses of the country. and also the hardest ground in many ways, because GLCs tend to move slowly and they're often protected. But equally, one of the areas of work that Datuk Paul Lau has worked very hard on is to establish integrity units in the GLCs and in the government.
This is Datuk Paul Lau, of course, with the Prime Minister's office.
That's right.
And the Cabinet Minister.
Yeah. So I know that he's received a lot of flack from various parties, but we work closely with him in certain areas. And often his hands are tied, but he's worked very hard to set up this network. And that's the network that the Business Integrity Alliance is utilizing to a degree. So one area that we want to help companies is that if they're experiencing issues with government departments where the government officials are causing them trouble and expecting some kind of bribe to make the problem go away, we want to draw out that information and channel it through into his department and his network of integrity units to fix it. So this is one of the areas where we're mitigating the corruption risks of companies in Malaysia. The second area really with the BIA is sharing best practice, and especially in areas like conflicts of interest, whistleblowing, the things that are difficult to get right, gifts and hospitality. So that's another area that the BIA is set up to do. And this is where collective action is important. And the reason why we want to take collective action approach is that if you have one company that's trying to deal with issues in the government, then that company can be victimized or simply ignored. But if you have 10 or 20 or 30 companies and that information is coming through an authoritative source like the Minister's Department or MITI or MIDA or these other government agencies, then that's when the ministries and the people in the ministries are going to sit up and pay attention and make things better.
Kim, you know, you are part of the business community. I imagine when you speak to your colleagues, other businessmen, and you talk about the BIA, what is the main resistance to it? Or is there resistance? Are they immediately saying, no, please, let me sign up right now. Do you have a tablet? Can I click on the... Or are they saying... And if they're not enthusiastic, why aren't they enthusiastic?
I think this concept is rather new. And it has to be promoted and it has to be talked about. And what Mark has explained made a lot of sense in that if you, as a single company, approach the authorities to feedback on some matters, you know, pertaining to corruption, they might not take you seriously or they might ignore you or worse still, they might penalize you. But you have a collective effort where the identity of the company is kept confidential. I'm sure all these government-linked companies or authorities, they have good intentions in their heart. So certainly this is something good for the community, good for the country. And why not? You know, if it's something that is not right, we need to fix it.
So why? So when you say, and I know it's been reported that you're targeting some 20 companies by the end of 2017, seems like a very low number considering the size of our economy. If you talk about collective action, how can 20 companies by the end of 2017 make any kind of dent in the situation?
I think the question is, which are the companies? If you've got the major GLCs on board, and that's actually where we're getting the interest from, then they've got huge supply chains. So if they come on board and they start to push this down through their supply chain, and some of their partners are major international companies as well, so they can be the entry point, and that there are signs of that happening. I think the other thing is that, like any new initiative, you have to take your time at the foundational stages. And we regarded 2016 and 2017 as the years when we would get this set up well. We don't see that there's a huge rush. It is urgent, and I think the report in The Edge yesterday shows just how urgent this is. But if we rush and then fall over, that's not going to help anyone. So it's much better to take it steady at the first stage, get it right, get it scalable and well established on a good foundation, and then we can look to grow through a strong base that we've set up.
Kim, just a last question for you. The global story in business today is low growth and a long protracted period of low growth. The Malaysian economy itself is suffering both for domestic and international reasons because of this. Do you think that the cost that will come to companies as they try to set up these systems, including having an integrity office, do you think that will be something they see as unnecessary at a time when they focus on more important things, including increasing productivity?
If you look at the case where Simon was fined, I think about $600 million US dollar, way back in about 2008 or 2007, you will realize how important it is to get this area right. Because not only they have to pay that amount of fine, $600 million US dollar at that time, but also they suffered a big dent in their reputation, which could be even more than the $600 million US dollar. So my view is that regardless of whether economy is good or bad, this is something that is of paramount interest, something that we need to fix it quickly and start off. As Mark has said, you know, everything starts off with small steps. So let's talk about corruption. Let's go against corruption and let's do it together to make a difference.
On the Breakfast Grill with us today are Mr. KM Lee, Managing Director of Top Glove, and Dr. Mark Lovett of Trident Integrity Solutions, speaking to us about the Business Integrity Alliance. I'm Sharad Kutan, and you've been listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.